Welcome to the Be the CEO of Your Life and Business podcast. I'm Laura Catina.
And I'm Amy Mara.
And we created this podcast out of our own struggles with the hope that we can help other women who are navigating one of the many different seasons we've been through.
Whether you're running a business or dealing with the juggling act of your motherhood and your career, we are here to give you real tips and strategies to navigate it all. So let's dive into today's episode.
This week, we're recording this in the middle of March, which is wild to even think that we are in the middle of March. We just said this. Laura was like, I feel like we just finished recording our end of the year episode of like planning ahead for 2024. And here we are in the middle of March already, which means a couple of things. And so today's episode, we are going to talk about how do we plan ahead, wrapping up for our first quarter, how do we plan ahead moving forward? So we really want to be able to talk about two main focuses. One, you need to wrap up your first quarter and also take some time to reflect on what worked and what didn't work in your first quarter. And then moving ahead, what do you need to plan for? And the first obvious answer would be like, oh, you have to plan for the second quarter because that's the one that comes next. But the way that at least we're thinking about this is that you can't just plan for second quarter. You're going to have to plan for second and start thinking about the third quarter, because third quarter here where we are, it's all about vacations. It's all about the summer. It's a brand new, entirely brand new schedule for so many people, especially those that are like us, that are moms, that have kids, and that are going to be running in 17 different directions. So what we want to talk about today is we want to focus on the tips and strategies that we're going to be using in how to tackle not only wrapping up the first quarter, but then planning ahead.
I love anything tracking, planning, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we talked at the end of the year about how we wrapped up 2023 and what we were doing to plan for 2024. And I stuck with it. So my thing is that, you know, every day I look at my planner that I have on my desk that Amy bought me, and it has every day of the week. And I will write down what our financial target is for this. For me, I call it year one, right?
Yep.
So for this year one, which ends on March 31st, and I will look at what we did the day before, what's remaining, what the daily goal is. And for me, it kind of helps keep me focused on what we're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about last week, our why isn't a monetary reason, but you have to have that goal in order to track and see where you're going.
Right.
So I have been doing that every day since January 1st. And so I can see, you know, how the firm is operating and what's going on. And so it'll help me when I save all those pages.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go back and look at any given week, any given day, and see what we were doing and what was going on. And it kind of helps me see, you know, where we are, where we've been, and where we're going.
Yeah. For me, I know that looking back in these first couple of months, it was really tough. It was a tough time of year because there were a lot of illnesses. I know I was sick
this
a lot.
This year was so much worse.
It was so much worse. God. Even in our office too. But you know, the other thing that is kind of important here to kind of note is that we also really accounted for this first part of the year to be a little more transaction heavy, a little more litigation heavy, which it was, and a little less real estate heavy. It was a little light on real estate, although we were still very busy in that regard. There's definitely not the same sentiment. So what felt really good is that these first 3 months of the year, this first quarter, did feel like we could really dig our heels into some bigger projects that came in, which they just happened to come in.
It's yeah.
Kind of wild how these certain projects come in at this time of year. Year over year, we're seeing this pattern emerging. And that's only because we get the benefit of tracking, that we get the benefit of looking back and being like, okay, so every time right at the end of December, early January, there seems to be something that is coming through the pikes relating to this. And it's going to be a project that takes a lot of our time. And the only way we can do that successfully is by tracking, by taking a look at what methods of timekeeping or calendars or schedules, like what Laura has, like the weekly snapshot that we both have. It's really helpful because we also can then see how much focus time do we have during the weeks? Where can we account for it? Where can we pivot? And are we going to meet the goal that we have for the first quarter of the year? Is that going to be met within the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's really good to look at. Not even relating solely to financial things.
Yeah.
But even in the way that I maintain my calendar. So I was doing it a certain way last year, by keeping in obviously all of our business stuff in Outlook, but then all of my after work appointments and activities, just so everybody, like if I'm leaving early, everybody could see where I am and when they can reach me. And that stressed me out to a point where I could not even look at it.
It was bad.
It was bad. So now that we're transitioning into the spring sports season and I am basically going to be in my car until November, I decided that a better way to do it is to keep, obviously our work stuff is in Outlook, but I use my Google Calendar for everything personal at home. And that is similarly color coordinated and chaotic, but it's not in my face all the time.
Yeah.
But I would have never known that if I didn't try it one way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So in terms of like keeping track of your calendar, I mean, these are even small things that you can see throughout the quarter. And if something is not working for you, you're not even going to realize it unless you go back and do some kind of analysis as to how you've been operating for the first couple of months.
I'm so glad you went in this direction because this is a great transition to another topic that we want to kind of weave in here. And that's the idea of certainty. So we love to plan. Okay. We are consummate planners, folks. We love, give us a schedule or a planner that's pretty and we will use it. But that doesn't always mean that it's going to make the most sense for you. And right. So while you could say, okay, I have this planner and I'm going to fill it out every single day and it's going to help keep me organized, if there comes a point in time where that is no longer serving the purpose, you have got to pivot, and that's okay. So I think that boldly I'll say that having uncertainty and being able to move your way through it is actually a really great lesson to leave you here with. Like, we don't have it planned out to the point where we have no interruptions. I'll tell you this.
Oh my God. We're interrupted every 5 seconds.
We're interrupted every 5 seconds. But just not to get into too much detail, but last week we had a chaotic week between closings, court appearances. It was a week where like you looked at the calendar and it was like a rainbow.
I'm like, I gotta click out of it. Chaos. I can't look at it anymore.
And that was just for our office, between all of the people in our office and all of the different calls and meetings and days in, days out, all over the place. And then we looked at this week and we were like, wow, it's going to be so light. It's going to be so easy. We're not out of the office. We don't have as many court appearances. Great. And then this week, I feel like I have been exhausted by 11:30 every day because we have so much going on right now that has nothing to do with being in court, nothing to do with closings and transactions. So while it's great to look at a calendar and be like, oh, this is good, I have so much breathing room, it's in these moments where it's like, don't take your foot off the gas because you just don't know what else is going to pop up. There might be other uncertainties lurking. So your better bet is to keep yourself really organized. Like, treat it like it's a real week that's going to be hectic. It's something so great. Brendan Burchard said, when you plan for a 40-hour week, you get about 20 hours of like solid time in. But if you plan for a 60-hour week, you know that you're going to reach that 40-hour benchmark. Yeah. He's like, because for a third of your time, you're really not in it. Like, you're not doing the productive work that you think that you are doing. Like, the people that say they're working 100-hour weeks, you're not. You could be staring at your screen, but you're not actually moving the needle forward.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about this planning, when we talk about, you know, planning out our quarter, which we'll get into next, like when you talk about doing this prospective planning, you have got to also mentally prepare yourself that there has got to be some level of uncertainty.
And you also have to give yourself grace.
Yeah.
Like when you think about when you're doing your analysis of the first quarter, and this could be personally or professionally.
Yeah.
Did you give yourself grace? If you did not, in a certain week, get the things done that you wanted to get done. Like, were you beating yourself up? Were you mad at yourself? Like, how did you handle that? And I have to say that I, throughout this quarter, I think that I have gotten much better at that.
I agree. I think you have. Maybe I haven't, but I think Laura has. She's been nailing it.
I think that I have gotten much better at that because I really tried to adopt this year is the mentality that, like, I am one person. Mm-hmm. I have two hands. I can only do a certain number of things on any given day. And when you combine, you know, the level of responsibility that we have in running our firm with what we're managing at home. It's like my mom always says to me, she's like, I don't know how you do all the things that you do. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know either.
Nope.
Sometimes I just have to roll with it, which I'm also getting better at.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for example, even this isn't business related, but having to deal with the fluctuation in the kids' activities. On Sundays, I look at the calendar, but it's been changing during the week. Like one day a practice will get canceled and then it's rescheduled for another day when I had something else scheduled. So we're like all over the place. Another tip for moms out there who have kids that play sports. At some point in time, you have to give yourself grace and understand that you cannot be at every game for every kid, every day, everywhere. And my mom always told me that because I have two younger brothers who always played sports. And she always told me that she reached a point where she was like, okay, I have a third child, me, at home. I need to be home. Like, I can't be out at all these fields all the time. Like, so I'll come when I can, but I can't always be there. And so today is a perfect example of how I really like had to talk to myself and give myself grace. And I think that Mike was annoyed and surprised that I'm not coming to Christopher has a baseball scrimmage tonight. It's 40 minutes from here and it's from 6 to 8, but Kaylee also has softball practice. Matthew has something at the high school that he has to go to for weightlifting for football. And I was like, no, I'm not coming. Like, I need to be home. I got to feed Kaylee. I need to be there for the other two.
Yeah.
So while he is off coaching Christopher, I have to say I'm not coming.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry, but I'll try to come on Saturday. You know, we're juggling so many things. So it's really hard to not be mad at yourself for not being able to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something that this quarter specifically that I've been really, really working on is giving myself more grace and asking for more understanding, because you just can't do it all.
And I think that what's important too is like, you have to do it the way that it serves your family. Like I'm one of three and I remember us being involved, but we were certainly not as involved in every level of sports that
it's
like
so what, different
the Katina household you got. I mean, it's nuts. It is
it's different today.
Even with Olivia, she has travel soccer. We weren't in a soccer program in the spring, but it's a fall and spring travel soccer. And they have trainers that they pay. Like, these are like professional soccer players that come and train these kids. It's wild. It's fantastic though. But it's two nights a week. And then her softball schedule is going to be one night a week and one day on the weekends. And then the other day on the weekend, it's going to be a soccer game. So we're going to be out of the house at least 5 days out of the seven doing something with sports. And honestly, I couldn't be happier though, because I want her to stay active.
So good for them.
I think that team sports are so important and whatever. We'll get into that another day. But the reason that I say that it has to work for your family is because just because you grew up in a house that did it a certain way, or you see other people doing it a certain way, it just doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. And this is something that I actually remember Emily Lay, who does the Simplified Planner, and also even Rachel Hollis. Like, I want to give the example to my son and daughter, and also completely co-signed by Joey, because I know he feels very supportive this way, of like, we're teaching our kids what it means for us to be working parents and what it means for us to have the responsibilities that we have to have. And you know, Olivia tells us all the time, like, I just want more time with you guys. Well, here's the thing. I'm spending time with you when I'm sitting at the soccer field watching your training session.
Right.
It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be the perfect idea of what this time is going to look like, but we are making those intentional moments to really count otherwise, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself nuts and you're going to say, oh, I'm not being good. Well, who says, right? If you teach your kids that this is the way that it's going to be for this season, then you can plan accordingly. You can set them up to understand that this is what life looks like. We're not going to be able to make it to everything, but we have other responsibilities, and that's what life serves you. Like, you're not always going to be able to do all the things you want. And that's the nature of sacrifice.
And that's what I've been doing all this time, is like at every game, getting home too late, like doing all the things. And I finally reached the point where I was like, this is not sustainable.
Yeah.
And what am I teaching them? So now they expect me to be there and they're upset when I'm not. And that's not a good lesson for them.
No.
Because it's not like I'm never there. I mean, I do as much as I can.
Yeah.
But they need to understand that I can't always be there. We, you know, Mike and I and you and Joe, like, we're doing the best we can, you know, with what we have,
yeah,
trying to manage all these different things. And I think it's a better lesson for them to not see me there all the time, because I have three kids that I have to split my time between. Mike is coaching all the teams. It's like, we're doing the best we can. Mm-hmm. But back to the original point, if you don't do some kind of like analysis or evaluation of where you are and how your last couple months have gone, how can you even figure out how to move forward? It's like, you just keep rolling along, doing the same old thing, pulling your hair out.
Yeah. I mean, you'll always be where you've always been if you always do what you've always done. Right. So like, if you have to change it up a bit, this is the other thing I wanted to bring up that I think Laura's been doing really effectively, is giving yourself the grace and the permission to have to do that little bit of work on the weekends just to set yourself up.
It has been. Now look, here's another area where you have to give yourself grace, right? So I'm in a different season. Mm-hmm. My kids are older. I don't know how this would have worked when they were younger. Like if when I was in the season you're in, it was total chaos. It's still chaos.
Clown different, circus. Right?
It is. But for me, I've even had to say to the kid, even like last night, I had to send an email and it was like 7:30 and Matthew was like, where are you going? I'm like, I have to go to my computer. I have to get something done for work. It's really important. I'll be back out in 10 minutes. Fine. You just have to set the ground rules. Mm-hmm. Does it always work? No.
No.
Because there are times where I'll go back to my desk for, even if it's for 15 minutes, and literally all three of them are in there asking me questions. And I'm like, get out. Like, I just have to do something quick. I need you to leave me alone. But I've really been trying. And this is something else that I implemented this first quarter or first year of 2024, was on the weekend, even if it's for 30 minutes. Sometimes I don't even have 30 minutes to sit down and look at the calendar for the upcoming week or do some administrative stuff, anything to lighten my load for Monday.
Yeah.
But if I can't do it on a certain weekend, I have to let it go.
Yeah.
Because you have to let it go. I'm just, especially now coming up with all the sports, I mean, it's just unfathomable how we're going to manage all of this. Like if I have a weekend where I simply can't get to it, what I need to work on is just not being mad at myself for not being able to get to it.
And that's where I think too, accounting for these schedules, the reason we harp on this, and we know that other people listening to this can relate to us, is because the spring months are chaos when it comes to schedules. Not only do our kids have 1,000 commitments, but we do too. We still have a ton of commitments too. Our business is very busy right now, and it's going to continue to be very, very busy. And then what's going to happen is there's going to be like a wall that we all slam into at the end of June.
Yes.
That's like, oh, by the way, your schedule is going to dramatically change and your kids are going to need you every 5 seconds because they're bored and they don't know what to do at home for the summer. It's going to change again. So why we say that at the end of March, even right now, the middle of March, you should start planning out for the next 3 months and then the following 3 months, that third quarter, is because that third quarter is going to sneak up on you. And I don't know if people are prepared for whatever time they're going to have away, and perhaps the fact that you can't do as much on the weekends, you can't do as much at night because you have other commitments, and you need to make sure that your weeks are the most effective that they possibly can be. That's why we're talking about it now. It's not to say, okay, I'm going to put things off until that time comes, and then my Monday through Friday is going to look like this, whatever, because you also have to plan for that degree of uncertainty. This is the perfect time to start really looking ahead. The fall is its own monster. You'll get to it eventually.
Forget that.
But for the next two quarters, you have got to be locked in and thinking about, okay, how am I going to account for this? If I have stuff coming in the second quarter, my second year, what is that going to look like? How is that going to impact my third year?
Yeah.
You know, I actually just had a call with a client. We were going over a schedule for litigation, a discovery schedule. And we talked about the summer months, and there are certain observances that he has that he's like, I'm not going to be available for this week, and I'm not going to be available here, and I'm going to be out of the country here. That's what I do with my clients because I want to know, when are you going to be available? And I will write it down in our notes and I will put it in the calendar if I have to, just to know that I'm on top of that. Like, this is the conversations we already are having in March.
I have to think about it. Even last weekend, I was looking at even just the school calendar, when my kids are off twice in April, which is insane. They have spring break the first week and then they're off again the third week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But I was just looking at it, just not even sitting down planning. It doesn't have to be like when you're thinking about the next few quarters, really looking ahead, like you don't have to sit down and spend an hour thinking, like, just start thinking about it. Like I had to start thinking about it because we have Matthew graduating middle school, Kaylee graduating elementary school. It's going to be, we're going back to Cooperstown with Chris this summer. We have tournaments coming up where we're going to be away. It's just, we have a lot of things going on. Started looking at the calendar to see like, when is this? When is that? Yeah. You know, just in my head. So I can have in the back of my head, like, oh yeah, we're going to have these graduations in June and all of these different things going on. So when things come up at work or, you know, I do try to put like milestone things like that in the computer at work, just so when I'm scheduling a closing or when I'm doing something, if it's something really important for home, I have to put it in the calendar here because I don't want to double book myself.
Right.
But anyway, so even if you just start thinking like a little bit, like the beginning stages of what you have coming up for the next couple months, I think it's really important to start now.
And I want to say and emphasize this, you do not need to like light a candle and make a cup of coffee and like be under a cozy blanket in your favorite chair and have a planning session.
No.
You could literally just sit and stare at your computer for 5 minutes and be like, that's part of your planning. It does not have to be this perfect, like curated thing that you see on Instagram.
I was standing in my kitchen, standing up, flipping through the school calendar. That was how I began thinking about the next couple months. I'm like, oh, look at this. They're all 55 times before the end of the year.
It's all you have to do. Like that is it. Because not thinking about it altogether, I don't know who you are. I want to meet you one day and shake your hand because I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you get through every single day. It would be in the fetal position under my desk.
Yeah.
That's where I would be.
No, we couldn't do it. But that's why we like to come on here and just give tips that work for us. But again, at the end of the day, you know, we highly recommend that you, you know, look at your first quarter, evaluate like what worked, what didn't, and take the things that are working for you and bring them in to the next quarter. And the things that aren't working, leave them behind. But you should do some kind of analysis, whatever analysis works for you, because it's only going to make your life easier. Thanks so much for tuning in. We thank you for spending time with us today, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, and perhaps share it with someone that you think might benefit from today's episode. We'll see you next week.